Welcome, friends and adventurers, to another episode of Dungeons and Blackguards. I am the Dungeon Master, Robulon. Joining me in no particular order are the players and their level 5 characters. Caleb.
My name is Caleb. I am playing...
Sorry,
my mic cut out like right before that, and all of a sudden it like powered on, and it was like, Caleb. It's like, oh, fuck.
In no particular order is Caleb.
Hello, I'm playing Kaito Atata. I'm a Warforged Barbarian level 5.
Brayden.
Hey, I'm Brayden. I'm playing Beleg Dagar, and I am a Hexblade Warlock, also level 5.
Brandon.
Hey, I'm Brandon. I'm playing Ikaruk Poonschley. I'm a Bloodhunter Orc, level 5.
Tomo.
Hey, I'm Tomo. I'm playing Steve Tahuman, a level 5 Gloomstalker Ranger Boy.
P.S. We have a badger.
Chris Blick.
Please roll your D20 to recap.
Well, that's a critical fail.
11. No, that's going to be Beleg, unless somebody can somehow beat his one.
Well, we can roll off.
Would you hit there, Kaitoa?
10.
And 10. Steve, always running from the recap?
11. I rolled the best.
So 1, a 10, and 11. Well, you know, Beleg, you were drinking water last time. You were picking up documents. You're probably going to do a great job. Take us through what happened last time on Dungeons and Blackguards.
All right. Well, we decided to go to Nathry's office. I'm trying to think if anything of importance happened before then. Steve sent his owl to go check on the crops. Yeah, we pretty much made off toot sweet, if I could recall correctly. Trying to get to Palace, we almost got stopped by my personal guard. We managed to duck into an alleyway and shit on some orphans at the same time.
Some children.
Always, yeah, which is always fun. And we got escorted to Naffer's office, told everybody to fuck off so we could search. The guards who were with real Nathry ended up knocking on the door. Very suspicious. Fight broke out. Defused the fight. Found some documents before or after or somewhere. Then we got in a fight with a chest. We also found irrefutable evidence of Nathry being a fuck and sending those raven letters, those Black Arrow raven letters, or having. It's about everything, yeah?
Also, this chest is alive and attacking us.
Well, that's what we fought the chest, and then now it's sitting dormant. Pretty sure that's where we ended it.
Yeah, and that is totally where you guys left off. There was a huge crash. Somebody right at the end there just even mentioned animal handling Steve, and that reminded us all.
Oh yeah,
poor Krizblick.
Krizblick got squished.
Right, and there was Kaitoa, you know, just standing amongst the wreckage as you guys all let go, pushing against this massive bookcase, and it crashed all around Kaitoa. Everybody, have a look at your Discord feed there.
Oh, that's awesome.
There's not much left of that bookshelf.
No, that's fantastic.
And yeah, I figure everybody is watching that chalky dust from these ancient scrolls and books and this bookcase that, you know, used to be one of 8 or 9 of these similarly sized bookcases. And yeah, Kaito, I think you mentioned there this chest right now has reverted back to this big, stately, round, cornered, about 5.5 foot by 2 foot tall, with big claw leg of feet. As you look over, Rook is slumped against the pillar as everybody kind of made their way away from the bookcase. And good old Rook always taking heavy damage per round. It looks, guys, at the moment, like he is passed out.
Classic Rook. While we wait for Rook, should we try and look through some of these other bookshelves?
Let's roll some checks.
Can I use investigation to try and figure out how that that chest was triggered, like what we did that to trigger off that chest?
Sure. So you look over to the chest. Roll investigation.
That is a six.
A six. As you look over, what distracts you is again a sort of... And you see there is that snout of Krizblick from underneath the bookcase. You don't even really get to give this chest a second thought, Steve.
I'm
getting Save Krizblick.
Yeah. I'm lifting the stuff off of Krizblick.
Okay, so Steve, you're going over and starting to remove some of this debris. You will find you may need a strength check as you explore for about a minute around and realize, yeah, she's pinned pretty bad.
Can I use an, I'm going to clean and jerk. I'm going to use an athletics check to...
use an athletics check and you can probably leverage, you know, the pieces out and maybe she'll crawl out.
That's a 10.
Woo!
Can Bellic come over and help?
Go for it, man. You're now seeing her squirm out. But, you know, things are kind of falling all around this little teepee, this little triangle of safety where she's been pinned.
Could I roll animal handling to see if she'd let me pull her out or help her out?
Yeah, go for it, dude.
Fuck. Well, it's one better than my previous roll, my only other previous roll. That's a two. I gotta salt test these dice. This is some bullshit.
You guys want the... big robot to lift this up.
It may help.
Are you still enraged? Or I think that's probably passed, yeah?
Well, yeah, I'd assume it was a weird scenario. But yeah, I'd assume it's passed. I'm not enraged. But I've got a good strength check.
Yeah, go for it, Construct. As you ditch the pieces of the remaining bookshelf that you were still kind of supporting, see if you can leverage this one. It's like half the bookcase that's fallen.
I got a 15 plus 5, so 20.
Oh, nice. I'd say with you three combined, even though Beleg, you are not really helping the situation. You're more just kind of there. As Krizblick manages to lurch out, just afterwards, of course, this whole pickup sticks falls on the ground, and again, sort of dust rises. It makes a pretty big clatter, but now there's just a little whimpering Krizblick. Looks like you've saved her from the rubble.
Yay! How's she doing? Is she looking pretty shitty?
What did we say last time? She took a surprising... What's she got? I mean, well, I guess roll medicine or animal handling. Someone.
Steve will do it because he hasn't rolled animal handling. All right, unless you want one. You can take this one if you want.
No, I've rolled both those, medicine and animal handling.
I need animal handling.
You do? Why don't you do it then? I already did one.
All right. Yeah, cross them off, guys. I hope everybody's crossing them off their own sheet. I mean, I'm trying, but...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've got all mine and crossed off or listed.
Sweet.
I have a 9.
Yeah. Oh, 9. Okay. Well, I mean, you guys are traveling companions with this female, feral, medium-sized badger. You can tell she's taken a sort of a heavy hit. Could use some healing. I mean, is she moving? Could she move? Yeah, you know. Probably, and I mean, right now she's really the only thing other than you guys murmuring a bit and Rook sort of slumped, but maybe starting to make some noise.
Yeah, what's going on, guys?
Oh, hey, buddy.
Oh, hey.
Hey.
What's happening here?
You just woke up there, Rook, for another classic post-battle nappy nap.
It takes its toll.
We're just saving poor little Krizblick right now.
Oh, Krizblick got some damage.
She got squished.
Yeah. That bueno. Octopus thing's gone, or Kraken, or whatever the heck it was.
It's lying dormant, and I would love to freaking either just destroy it while it's dormant, try and open it again. I just want to know if there's anything.
Let's investigate and then kill it.
Yeah.
Figure out what makes it tick. Then we can pull it apart.
Exactly.
We know the caustic hammer does damage.
Yeah, my hexblade should do damage.
So as you guys are rejoined by the presence of Rook, yeah, they were also taking stock of damage. You know, how much damage they thought Krizblik had taken. Classic Rook, I think you took the lion's share of hits during the last
one. So that means, like, I've got a short rest, right?
what would you call it there? Angling for the short rest. That was about 1 minute. So you get 1/18th of a hit point. You need an hour, baby. An hour. But I will remember you one thing, Beleg. You were very interested in the documents you had pilfered. Where did they end up? And were you the whole fight, obviously, as Nafri, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So in Nafri disguise, you have the same armor on and whatever. Nafri's got a little turban, but secretly it's your floppy wizard's hat and all this shit and your greaves, and you've stuffed those papers in there, or what happened? Yeah. I kind of lost track.
Yeah, I kept them in the greaves and I haven't had a chance to look at them since.
Yes, right, because the moment that you guys got them, it was like they found the chest, then there was a knock on the door. Right, so you haven't had a chance to look at them.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So you still have time to write them.
Just give me 1 minute, I'll be right back.
As Rook passes out again.
Yeah, coughs again. Yeah.
That's in character. So did you guys say you wanted to roll like a group investigation, or you were looking back over at this? It's menacing, you know, how quiet and how nice this chest looks. Mm-hmm. You know it to be the thing that's left these horrible sucker marks on your arms and destroyed the bookcase and all this stuff. But right now, yeah, I mean, the three of you, I guess, look all towards it.
What should we...
I mean, I suppose I could use perception to make it a whole lot easier.
Perception... I'm trying to think of what the best... It's just sitting there dormant.
Investigation or perception or maybe even... I guess insight probably doesn't work.
No, insight would be more of, like, people.
There may also be a chance that something about this particular monster kind of thing. In that case, I don't know if survival's thing you could roll into.
Yeah, survival would probably be a good one.
Or...
Are you guys going to leverage any of those skills? I like, once I heard this nice leverage of like animal handling into diplomacy, you know, because if you know how to talk about such and such an animal, maybe you could get in with the king who also likes chickens. So, hey, survival, tell me how, and yeah, I'll let you roll that on the chest. How does that make sense?
In the sense that, you know, understanding monsters, maybe there's a conversation that's being had about what not to do in dungeons.
Oh.
You always have to be careful for monsters that'll pose as things that they otherwise are not.
Yeah, sure. I like it.
All right. I'm going to try that with...
Yeah, I like that one too.
Survival. And in fact, I haven't done survival yet, so I'm going to take that shit off.
You guys doing a joint one on that?
Yes. I also haven't done survival
yet.
Yeah,
Beleg, jump in on that, and I got a double down DC for you. And Krizblik, as Beleg and Steve, Beleg, you're standing right in front of this chest, and you're just looking at it up and down. And as you look at it, the nice brass handle, and there's almost like this round, almost like a spherical, maybe it's a lock or some sort of mechanism. Krizblik has wandered and scuffled over beside Rook, who's nodded off again. Kaitoa, what are you up to as these two inch towards the chest and are clearly thinking hard?
Can I do a religion check? because I've never seen anything like this. I would like to, yeah.
Reach.
Be like, is this, I don't know, is this some faith that I've recognized? Like, I have no idea of a booby trap that comes to life like this.
Oh, yeah, I love it. Yeah, roll religion. And what did my survival investigators or my survival rollers get?
Oh, I got a 7.
Okay.
Belly got a 5 plus 1, a 6. The rolls are not good yet.
Steve got a 15 plus 5, so 20.
Oh, wow. And Beleg, you got a 6?
Yep.
Beleg, as you stand there in front of this thing, Steve, you look over Nafri-Beleg's shoulder, and it clicks. It doesn't clicks. Attack the owner.
Oh.
The moment that the bookshelf broke apart, line of sight with Nafri. And Steve, this is now dawning on you that it could be this. And your survival instincts click in, sort of like, keep Nafri in front of this chest.
Okay, yeah.
Meat shields.
But I also call him Nafri. Nafri,
nice.
I think you may be able to open this chest.
I think that Steve probably had to say Nafri twice before Beleg clued in.
Nafri.
All right, at these two...
Beleg's history of perception.
Yeah, classic Beleg. And then Kaitoa, your religion. All you can think about, though, like when you saw this chest the first time, it's like this faraway bell tolling in your mind, Kaitoa. Like, there is something you know. And just like before, it's almost like this flashback to a time when this sort of a chest made you awful nervous, but it doesn't seem to recall any specific religion or thing for you. So Beleg, Nafri, as you hear your little buddy Steve the Human over your shoulder call out, yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, good idea. And I go up to the chest and put my hand on it gently. And I stroke it, and then I go for the latch.
As you stroke the really nice eased edge on this single piece of wood that makes up the top, that spherical ball latch seems to blink and turn into what looks like a brass eye. And it looks at your hand and is now following your hand as you reach for the latch.
And I open.
Okay. The latch clicks open, and this animated eye, this keylock, sort of stares straight forward, and now it is being raised up, and now the lid is pointing at the ceiling, and that is now out of your view. As you look down in here, there's too many papers to count. Books, scrolls. And it's fairly deep, you know, it's almost like you'd have to go in elbow deep if there's more than just papers and scrolls in here. The chest has given way. There doesn't seem to be a Kaitoa and Steve as you look at Nafri, Beleg, you know, stooped over this huge chest. There doesn't seem to be any change occurring on the outside.
Well, sweet. Hey, Kaitoa, you got one of them big old compartments we could fill with paper?
Yeah, I got some room.
I'd like to reach in and grab a couple of the papers.
Can you make a perception check?
That's not a good one either. 12 plus 1, so 13.
Beneath these papers, there are objects as well. You can't quite tell what it is, but your hand is brushing past various objects beneath the papers.
Let's lift up those papers and take a look.
What'd you get? What's inside? On tippy toes, like seeing if I can see something over top of Beleg's shoulder.
I'd probably beckon Kaitoa over just to load up his storage capabilities.
Yeah. Wow, there's a lot of stuff here, but it's fairly easy to separate. There's stacks of papers, there's some scrolls, it looks like there's a few books. But then this thing beneath that you've discovered, Beleg, it looks like a package, a wrapped parcel, potentially. that has been opened. And then there is also a small case, like a leather case. And now your hands are now reaching the bottom of this chest, and you feel like a smooth, almost like a single piece chiseled out canoe. Like, this is a nice single piece chest, but it's not in any way overly deep. And now you've essentially explored its extremities.
I'd like to load the papers up into, like, give them to Kaitoa.
Your filing cabinet, friend.
Yeah, and then. Is there anything in the package?
Yes. As you open the package, guys, there's something that is familiar to you.
Well, I was going to say, can I do a quick investigation before I dive balls deep into the package?
That would be prudent. Yes, sure.
That's a 3 plus 2.
Oh, man.
What's in the package?
Can you make a dexterity saving throw, Beleg?
Yep.
Who else was near to this little package?
Me.
That's a 1.
Would you say you were within 5 feet or 10 feet?
Yeah. Well, I guess I, like...
You were within that circle.
I don't think it would travel this far, but there is like a puff of sort of like red powder. And you just kind of barely avoid getting this near, say, your face and your various breathing apparati. But, your hand is sort of covered in this red powder, Beleg.
Oh, well, I know what that is.
Yeah, are you opening this box further?
Not this box.
He's relapsing.
Yeah, so as you would have gotten just a little glimpse in here, Beleg, of it looked like that same kind of folded leather pouches of Red Frog.
All right.
Oh! You got that Red Frog?
And there is a note on the top, like affixed, you know, like a mailing little envelope on the exterior of a package you might see.
Yeah.
It seems to just show like a to and a from address.
To and from? I'd like to peel that off and put it in my greave.
Yeah, can we investigate that?
Sure, you want to investigate that, Kaitoa?
Yeah.
Yeah, this mailing envelope, or this mailing label, says Port of Nezhu in Moy. And there's an arrow going to the Port of Alzda in Iranu. So it's in big letters, it goes Moy to Alzda. And, Beleg, you said you peeled this off?
Yeah, I'd like to keep that.
Okay, well, Kaitoa, did you roll investigation?
Yeah.
What'd you roll?
12.
You notice right away this thing has a second side to it.
Oh, on the back?
Yep.
What's it say?
Yeah, so I guess Kaitoa alerts Beleg's attention to the fact that this label has a reverse side, and it says on the back, Final Package. Highest potency, handle with care.
Ooh.
I catch Belly's wrist and I flip this message over so he sees it.
Hot shit.
Yeah, so this piece of paper is kind of folded in three, and you guys now are noticing Krizblik and Rook looking so cozy and quiet and happy. And the dust has kind of settled on both of them. And they actually are starting to kind of like blend in to that pillar. And it's on kind of the shady side of the pillar. And as you now stand above the chest, Steve and Kaitoa and Beleg, yeah, what are you doing?
Do either of you guys have like any water or anything that I could quickly wash my hands off with?
For sure.
None of it.
I've got like a
canteen or something. Flask.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I got one in my scholar pack. I'd like to wash my hands quickly. Get that out of the way.
So, Beleg, as you're washing your hands, can you roll history?
Yes.
It's time for what I like to play, which is what did Nafri order people to do last episode, coming back and happening in this episode?
Come with bandages.
That was one.
I rolled a 19 minus 1, so an 18.
Oh, wow. Belleg's on point. And you are, man. I mean, immediately as you wash your hands and you're kind of that thoughts going through your head of, I asked the guards to come back with bandages. We agreed to have the mayor visit to talk about a new quartermastership. And these thoughts start racing through your mind.
Oh, yeah, the mayor. Hey, guys, let's see if we can... there's just no fucking way we can clean up all this. All the shelf.
What if... Does prestidigitation do it?
Oh, does somebody have that now? It's a pretty versatile thing.
It's versatile. I don't know if it would do the whole... cover the whole mess up.
You could... I mean, the only thing trashed in this room is this huge, you know, 11-foot by 8-foot hardwood bookcase. Other than that, most of this room is intact. You guys have messed around on Nafri's bureau. You guys have had a scuffle at the door with those 4 guards. And Belleg, you said you rolled an 18?
Yeah.
Ah. Well, so then there was a third thing that you also, that's going through your head. Not just your personal guards, who you start wondering where will they go after the white chain. You also remember that shifty-eyed Flaunton.
Yeah, fucking Flaunton. I don't trust him.
And again, as the party starts looking around the room, I suppose, and you guys are considering kind of the state of affairs in his office now, you start hearing that sound. There's definitely that sound of approaching footsteps from far away.
Can I cast a minor illusion of something that would cover 5 feet cube worth of that space to like a table or something that would like hide the fact that there's broken bits of...
Well, I bet
like
we could
shove it into the
we just emptied out that chest. I'm sure we could shove a lot of the debris into the chest, and then you could cast the minor illusion of full chest.
The alcove and the chest could totally fit most of this debris. And minor illusion, lasts a minute. Mm-hmm.
Not very long.
Mm-hmm. Certainly. Yeah, you could create a phantom bookcase. Absolutely.
You have a minute to be able to dismiss them. Tell them to fuck off.
It takes you a minute to cast it?
No, it lasts for a minute. It's not very long.
It only lasts a minute.
I think it's our best bet. Yeah.
These footsteps now, it sounds like just solitary footsteps, adventurers. You now hear them coming from what surely must be, you know, a hallway and stairs now leading up into Hugill Castle, where, again, you haven't been. This is, you know, Nafri's sort of parallel office chamber entrance. And, yeah, these footsteps are coming awfully close now. Kaitoa and Steve, you'd probably be hearing it now as you look back. Krizblik and Rook now, as the dust has settled. I mean, they almost look like statues. They're like part of that pillar.
Could I roll perception to see if I could, like, pick out these footsteps if they sound armored?
Yep.
Perception, that was 17 plus 1, so another 18.
This sounds like the leather-soled footsteps of, you know, a castle servant.
Sweet. As long as it's not flaunting. All right, everybody, are we shoving shit into the alcove? And
yeah, Steve's kind of doing that now, just... moving what he can.
Kaitoa hears the command and begins to move shit.
Nice. Okay, so Steve and Kaitoa, you just shove this thing as much as you can, full. You push your way back as much as is feasible as a knock comes at the door. And so you guys have just succeeded in getting rid of all the debris. All of you hear this knock at the door. It's a quiet little rapping.
To try and time out my minor illusion. The door opens to give us as much time as possible.
Could you, like, I guess you could prepare the spell, right?
So you have it ready.
Yeah, I'm readying the minor illusion so that as soon as the door kind of opens, it's there.
Okay, this is
that gives us a minute.
This is the same sort of door that you came in through. There's no peephole, and a voice comes through.
Hello?
Who is it?
Maze runner, message.
Is it on parchment?
Simply delivered by voice to Naffrey.
Well, get on with it.
Very well. May I come in?
Oh, yes, make it quick. I look at Steve as I grab the doorknob and give him the wink and the gun and then open the door. Yeah,
I do the floop-de-floop. make the illusion of the bookcase.
Okay, the door opens ever so slightly, and it's pretty dark in this hallway, Beleg. You see a young man in a blue tunic, and he bows low before you.
Naffrey, the mayor has heard you request an audience and is prepared in the Great Hall.
And he's barely making eye contact with you.
Wonderful. Does he expect us right now?
As always, Naffrey, his schedule is your schedule. It's really up to you.
And he now is backing away. And actually, now he has turned and run up the stairs.
And I close the door. Little turd.
The door slams shut.
Is Rook awake yet?
No.
As you go over and do a quick check of Rook, he's passed out. You do recall him after the last battle saying that he would not be the first to provoke the chest again. And that's pretty much all you've heard. He tried to come to once or twice, but he seems still slumped. And Krizblik as well is now sort of beside him. Same condition, I guess.
Well, I think we should go to the mayor in the Great Hall and see if he can wave his scepter over Rook and make him the quartermaster and just get out of this room. Because we'll Steve only has so many minor illusions.
We'll just like weekend at Bernie's Rook into the hall and be like, hey man, make this guy quartermaster.
Minor illusions all day. They only last for a minute though.
I don't know, do you guys see any point in like doing like any more than one last scan in this room? Especially now that there are guards that are...
Did we look through all the stuff that was from the chest, like the pages and all that shit?
Kaitoa has them in him.
Well, I have the papers, but I think you sifted through some stuff that weren't really determined.
Oh, I meant to put all the papers, like all the papers and scrolls into you, and then there was just the package and the parcel as far as I can recall Rob saying.
I think we might want to give that chest another look.
Yeah.
But you're the only one who can open it.
Yeah, I'd be down to give the chest another look, and then, I don't know, since there are people that are suspicious of us, or at least there's Flaunton, getting to the mayor and manipulating him would probably be nice.
Okay, but we gotta carry Rook. That's the other thing.
Well, we can wait. We can do the chest right now and hope that Rook is awake.
Okay, go for it. Check that chest. Take your time.
Weekend at Poonchley's.
Yeah.
I can carry him.
And who can carry him?
So you guys emptied the chest. Other than, as far as I know, Beleg, you took those couple of items. There's this package. There's a leather satchel. Not sure if you looked in there. There were a couple books, scrolls, and papers, but you literally emptied that chest.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that was my intention. Sweet. We don't need to worry about that. I would like to look in the satchel.
You open the satchel. It's about the size of, say, a dinner plate. You can feel it inside. It actually feels a little bit like something like that shape and size.
Like a dinner plate?
Yeah. Kind of feels like that. And as you open the drawstring on this leather satchel, there is a half-moon mask.
Oh, shit.
And attached to it is a piece of paper.
Can I do an arcana check on the piece of paper? Make sure that it's not imbued with not any...
Bewitch you?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Arcana it up.
It's a 10 minus 1. That's a 9.
Now that I, now that we've got like a better look, I suppose it's the best look that we've had at one of these moon masks. Can I use a religion check to kind of glean if whether or not it's exactly the same or if it's...
Yeah, you bet.
Like the opposite or something to the other ones that we've seen previously. I suppose there's the one at the fort and then the one at our new bar.
Steve, I'm going to give you inspiration. You're now counting that this is essentially the third. And you mentioned you'd like to roll religion, and we can certainly do that. But yeah, Steve, you noticed right away, this is the opposite. This is the other half of the moon represented on an almost identical mask. So roll that religion. And Beleg, you wanted to roll Arcana. You got a 9 or a 10?
I got a 9. I got 10 minus 1.
Okay, the paper, as you look at it, it looks totally normal. It looks nothing out of the ordinary. The mask and the paper, as you sort of look upon both of them, it as well, I mean, it doesn't seem to have any kind of draw. And you picked up that mask before in the safe in the White Chain third floor. It's not drawing you in any scary way.
The mask isn't at all? Interesting. I'd like to grab the paper then. Look at the paper.
Okay. I got a 17 on my religion.
What does Steve's interest in astronomy or, you know, the stars and the skies and constellations, has that changed at all recently, Steve? Is Steve noticing, you know, stars in places where there weren't stars before?
I mean, I imagine from his background, he's used the stars often to travel at night. Definitely uses them as markers. So if they have moved, I mean, I guess the last time outside of a town at night was probably when we were in a boat, right? And he did spend a fair bit of time kind of fishing and hanging out in the back of the boat. So he would have been out in the open. So I imagine if there was a change, then yeah, it would.
Right. Okay. So Steve starts to, you know, again, thinking about the moons and religion, starts to get that feeling again of moon duality and deity worship, and that somehow these masks are connected to whatever was going on at the Black Fortress. Maybe a ritual. This paper, Beleg, shows...
I see that.
A kind of like an order form showing the mask, showing the moon mask that you're looking at right now.
Damien's Pottery Shop.
Let's go to that pottery shop.
Right, and it has like the seal of Polb on it. It seems to be commissioned by Administrator Nafri for the procurement of one mask per this little picture below. Payment upon receipt of goods, 10 silver pieces. So there's now a mask and a drawing of that same mask in your hands.
Mask Menagerie.
Kaitoa, open up.
Open up what?
I don't know, wherever you keep stuff.
A compartment.
Open up your heart.
All right. Well, yeah, I will use my bedroll to roll this thing up, and I will like slump it on my back in the backpack I have.
Sweet. Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, so wow, you guys have certainly, in this last couple of minutes here, since that messenger came from the hallway staircase leading up to the interior of the castle, you guys have certainly pored over a couple of these things, and the bell tolls off in the distance, and this is the first morning bell you guys have heard. That must be, you know, the 10 o'clock bell. Now markets are going, all the shops and temples are bustling, and craftsmen and blacksmiths are going to be, you know, in their prime. And the day is underway. We can officially say, guys, the morning is over.
I don't know about you guys, but I still feel like we're in a pretty time-sensitive situation right now. What do you guys want to do?
It does suck because we can't move on right now. Because we can't leave Ruk alone.
Yeah.
Do you guys want to... Do you want to go back and fight that chest?
I'm trying to think of some way that I could... You cast rope trick and put him in the... Put him in the weird...
The unknown.
Is that upside down? Oh, yeah, you have rope trick. Yeah. Nobody... you don't have disguise self anymore, do you, Steve?
It's one of my class spells.
Oh, you do?
You basically, as you level up Gloomstalker, the first spell you get is disguise self.
Oh, shit. Oh, okay. It's a
rope trick.
What do you guys think?
I mean, fuck, we could leave him in the office and you could basically tell your servants in here that they shouldn't bother him. He's basically a guest and he's taking a nap.
Okay. That'll take one hell of a persuasion. He's napping with all of my private stuff.
You could do some kind of I drank him under the table. He's wasted. Take care of him. And you could do some pompous
No, I've got it.
Naffy thing of you beat him in some way and now you have to take care of him.
So I go up to the mayor as Naffy and I'm like, all right, make this guy quartermaster. And then I'll be like, oh no, my stomach's upset. I'll go to the bathroom and then I'll run and then I'll cast disguise self as Rook and then I'll come back out and say, hey, and I'll just do the classic date move, two dates at the same time, back and forth in the bathroom. And it's stumble in a stupor. I just don't want to leave him there.
And the badger.
Oh, Krizblick.
As you do this, Beleg, the curiosity just overcomes you. And you dive into your greaves and you start crumpling around a couple of those papers, that Steve had snatched away from you. And, you were thinking, man, if there was just a Naffy Rolodex or, his contact list. Or something like that.
Yeah, I did say that.
Your mind goes back to oh man, I picked up some pretty important shit there. And one of these things is kind of sticking out of your greaves as you guys maybe wait for Rook here. And let's see what that is.
I do like this clue reveal party.
It's this plan or something. Well, it's not a Rolodex. In fact, this is not the paper that you saw. This one proclaims at the top, items for sale, agreement, bulk, between City of Polb and the Wizard and Spear. And it reads, this agreement hereby allows the sale of and inspection thereof and identification thereof, whereby such items and goods are found to be lawfully obtained, insomuch as verifiably heretofore with between the above noted parties. Signed, there's that Mayor Gently of Polb, and below is the Wizard Mem's signature.
Mem, asterisk only interested in magical armor.
Yes, and party, it seems that your favorite shop so far in Polb here is named on the sheet.
All right.
Assuming that they are collecting the items that are being stripped from people that are being sent away from here.
The kidnapped people, they're selling their weapon.
So the armor that I'm wearing is most likely taken from someone who ended up in some adventure, Red Frog stupor, in some fortress somewhere.
Much more accomplished adventurers than us come through this place. Or maybe this was yours the whole time.
It does hold my daggers really well.
Well, as the documents just spill out of your greaves here, which is not really designed as well as Kaitoa is, as a kind of a filing cabinet. I mean, clearly this thing was for one or two messages, and you just were shoving crumpled paper in there. Now, even if you were going to see the mayor, even if not, and you think better of how you just shoved the shit in there. Can you roll wisdom real quick, Beleg? And Steve and Kaitoa, can you roll wisdom as well?
Yep.
Ooh, that would be...
Everybody cross off on your list.
Yep, that's a 19 plus 4, because that's my natural proficiency as a warlock.
10 for Katoa.
And wisdom for Steve is not too bad, actually. 18 for Steve.
What'd you get, Tolo?
16.
19.
Nice.
Steve, you just started to, I'd say, link together. And as you do that, this further piece of paper starts to corroborate some of what Steve has just been saying. What have you stumbled on here?
Oh, weird. The moon symbol's on the top right.
Yeah. Let's see. Summoners, different groups that have my mark.
Remember to call on her. Delivery to BAF.
What, Steve, tell what that is that isn't...
Oh, that language, you probably, I guess maybe roll history.
History?
Probably.
Nature? I mean, that's a tough one. You could roll, I mean, explain to me what you're thinking of. If it's language, I might even go intelligence or wisdom.
I'm trying to think back to maybe what my being, so to speak, he taught me. He made sure that I would learn as many languages as he possibly forced into my kid brain. So I'm trying to think back to, like, potentially he did try to teach me other languages, but there was only so many that I could, to his chagrin and disdain. But I'm going to try and think of potentially.
Think back to the flashcards, man.
Yeah. Yeah. This is an apple. What do we call it in this language?
All right. Can you roll a D6 then for me, Steve?
I rolled a one.
Oh, one. Okay, you can't identify the word. You did not pay attention during the foul tutelage of kobold script, which is some twisted variant of some lizard folk, maybe ancient draconic. You can't quite tell what that word is, but the word that you think is a name written beside it, that does sound maybe like a kobold name, this Carrick.
Yeah, Carrick. Remember to call on Carrick.
And Peleg, as you see the words whisperers and identify...
Is that what I was?
Mark, internally you start nodding to yourself, yeah, that's what you thought. Right when you tried to leave this whole, what would you call it, conspiracy or operation or whatever the hell was going on, you were getting the picture that you were just a little rung on a ladder and you were about to get swallowed up, and this is confirming that fear.
We never made it to step five. Or did we? Was step five the prison, I guess?
As soon as you guys pore over Nafri's notes, there seems to be another knock at the door. This one has come very suddenly. This is not the door from, you know, the castle side. This is the door from the courtyard keep side. And there is a bit of a frantic rapping at the door.
Who is it?
It's Leah.
Oh, hello, Leah. Come in.
My Lord Nafri.
And she walks in, and she seems to be carrying, like, a little bag.
I was sent from the quartermaster's district, an injured duelist, or some such nonsense. It's 9:30 in the morning.
Yes, yes, there was an altercation that's been sorted out, but this half-orc here requires medical attention.
There's an injured animal here.
Yes, that's also a badger. Tend to it if you would like, but I don't care.
Indeed, but I'm unsure as to really what to do here. Are they both? Oh!
And Krizblik starts to kind of snarl as Leah puts her hand towards her.
I can take care of her. I've got some rudimentary skills. Don't worry about the badger.
As Steve is conversing with her, Belleg reconceals the papers that were in his hand. Yeah, can I do like a sleight of hand for that?
Yeah, get that S-O-H out of the way. And you'll be just simply trying to not, I guess, not draw attention.
That's an 18 plus 2.
Oh, 20. No problem.
Sweet.
And with you're those. Able to notice quickly there, Kaitoa, as Leah comes in down behind her, you're sort of right there looking down. She's not been accompanied by anybody that you can see, but there is a wagon down there. You can't see if, you know, who's on it, but you see a wagon wheel that's, you know, maybe pulled up.
A wagon wheel, eh?
Just from my vision from inside, I can just see a wagon wheel?
Yeah, so you're looking down what's probably, you know, like a 60 or 70 foot, you know, staircase down back into the light of day, down into the courtyard here. You know, from where Leah has appeared up this staircase, you can just make out the wagon wheel. Perception?
No, I'm just going to go down the stairs and shut the door behind her.
Okay. Kaitoa starts walking down the stairs, shuts Leah in. Leah is tending first here to Rook's rather gray and pus-filled, infected-looking wounds. She's wrapping those up, and you were going to calm Krizblik down there, Steve?
And I'm going to see if I can... I don't know if it's animal handling or medicine, but if there's any wounds, dress them.
Whichever you prefer.
Let's do animal handling, since I have not done that one yet.
Okay, roll it up. And Kaitoa, as you come down the stairs, it's the two meat wagoneers with their wagon.
Oh. What do you want?
Are we a little early?
Yes, yes. We imagine there must be some good blood being spilled today. Nice and early you're about. Just following along.
They're like gear lampreys.
Steer here for a pickup.
Well, we figured there was, of course, a message sent down to the quartermasters for wounded, and certainly that means there must be bodies about. Where are they? How many dozens today?
And, yeah, looks like they're the ones who gave Leah a ride. So we're going to cut away real quick. Steve, what did you get there?
I got a 19 plus 2, so 21. Nice.
Beautiful. So I'd say in some way you've assuaged Krizblik's anger here. And allowed maybe Leah to... she seems to be laying some sort of hands and restoring some sort of vitality to Krizblik. Oh man, Krizblik looks a ton better, Steve, as you do whatever you're doing.
I'm like, I guess if she's doing the healing, I'm doing the distracting. So tickling the spot I know she likes, Gorpin, that kind of thing.
Gorpin the sweet spot. So now Krizblik looks much, much mended and is now sort of not making this terrible noise she was before. Nafri, check. You're now in your office. Both doors are closed. You have Leah and the poncho boy tending to Krizblik and the orc. Kaito has rushed off downstairs. Or, you know, not downstairs, but down to the courtyard.
Nafri is just sitting at his desk reading, you know, a book that would be there off the side. Kind of to give Leah the impression that he doesn't really give a shit about these guys, but understands that they need to be healed.
Okay, and as you do that, then, Nafri, you'll have the opportunity to sort of think about all of those things, you know, that you've seen.
Yeah.
If you make a sleight of hand check real quick, I'll allow you to look at one more paper.
Yeah.
Okay, so Kaitoa, what did you say to the meat wagoneers?
Are you here to pick up?
As my compatriot said, we are here just in case of bodies, and give the nice lady a ride to and fro.
Well, no bodies today, we're just in need of a medic.
And, yeah, a dejected sigh from the kind of tall, lanky guy. But the other fellow seems unperturbed. He simply, you know, is tending to his horses, waiting patiently. And he looks at you, Kaito, and says,
"Day is early."
There's quite a lot of activity in the courtyard here, Kaitoa. I mean, you see a lot of people entering into the main entrance of Hugo Castle. You see the huge gates, the sort of outer perimeter gates that exit, you know, into the actual city proper, admitting people through, you know, smaller man doors off to the side. But yeah, everything out here seems bustling and at the moment quite normal. There are guards positioned about every 100 feet along the exterior of the castle, you would notice.
Well, boys, you're making a scene, so do a lap. Come back.
is the lady ready? Shall we not leave with her and the wounded?
Come back. She'll do her business, but you lingering out front. Is it attention I don't think we want, so do a lap. And come back, and she'll probably be ready.
Very well. This is Paul, you know, but very well. Come on, then, Matthias. Let's go.
And he hops on top of the cart, and off they go with their, I guess it's maybe two, like, work ponies who pull this cart, and off they go. They're going to do perimeter around the courtyard. All right. Kaitoa, you're now there just standing at the foot to the staircase that goes back up to Nafri's office.
You do anything else, Kaitoa?
I'd like to do a perception check as I'm like out in the doorway just to see who's there.
Okay, quick roll on that.
Ooh. I got an 18 plus 3. Sweet. 21.
As you take a second look back, Kaitoa, and I mean, you always have this soldier's presence of mind. You're always looking at, you know, heads you can count, how many people have swords. You just noted that there were guards positioned every couple 100 feet. But as you take one look back, you notice a couple of these people being admitted at that front gate there. It's Flaunton and the quartermaster.
Oh, and the quartermaster.
And they seem to have about, it's not a small contingent of men. I mean, you rolled pretty well. At 23? Let's see.
21.
21. Yeah, well, no, you count about a dozen men, and Flaunton and the quartermaster.
Can I give a few little steam whistles so everyone comes downstairs?
You can try, but yeah, you can try. I don't think they're going to hear it through the closed door.
Can I do a performance?
Sure, roll performance.
It's only a 9.
So you're letting off a couple little toots, but nobody's coming down the stairs at the moment, Kaitoa. Your toots echo dimly in this, this passageway leading up to Nafri's office. Rest of the party, passed out half-orc, Nafri/Beleg, boy in the poncho, Leah just now putting a couple bandages and finishing up with Rook and the Badger. She looks extremely concerned at the half-orc. Now she is standing up and saying,
"All done. My work here's all done. Call for the Matthias and Tobias there at the wagon. I'll be on my way."
Can I walk back upstairs?
Oh, yeah, sure. I sure hope so.
Yeah, I come back up being like,
they've done a lap. Also, we have company incoming very quickly.
GTFO?
Well, we must be off to the Great Hall anyways.
Oh, shit, mama.
Time to go.
Hey, Rob.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't get any inspiration last session, did we?
Everybody has 2 from the last time, and I've awarded somebody 1.
Yeah, Steve has 1.
Yeah.
Sweet. I'm going to use 1 on my sleight of hand check, which was turds.
Your sleight of hand check. Redo it then.
No, it's even worse. First one was a 5, that was a 3.
Then all you succeed in doing, as you realize, you just don't have time as Kaitoa bursts through the door to review any more of these kind of documents you felt were relevant. You slip him back in to your little insert in your leg protector, your greave there. And Kaitoa has burst in. What did you say? We have company. So, yeah, there is a passageway up to the castle, from whence the messenger came earlier. And there is the doorway down back to the courtyard where Kaitoa has just come from. Leah is shocked, Kaitoa, as she's asking, essentially, where's my ride? You burst in, you say you've sent them on a lap. She grabs her little case and clutches it close beside her. She looks at all of you with a bit of a fearful glance and starts rushing down the stairs. Goodbye. Sweet.
Goodbye, Leah.
You weren't here.
As the door shuts behind her.
Can I go down and see if I can bar the door?
Well, that would certainly be suspicious. I don't think we should cause suspicion. I think we should just go to the Grand Hall and leave it unbarred.
All right.
They don't need to know that. If we leave it barred, they're going to be like, why the fuck did they bar it?
So you guys would all, how do we do this? Well, I'll tell you, anybody looking at Rook can tell he is much improved. He's able, it seems, to stand. He is still a little covered in dust. His bandages are showing. He doesn't look all that worse for wear. And Krizblik, beside him, Krizblik always seems to really form bonds when everybody gets injured. She is sticking pretty close to Rook right now, who's silent and solemn.
Classic Rook. You guys want to go to the Grand Hall? See the mayor?
You guys want to peer out that door?
Yeah.
I can do a little stealthy check.
Yeah.
It's a fair clip.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, you'll be able to move right down to the end of that hallway immediately.
All right. Should we be able to see the hallway?
If you move through, yeah. If you go through the door, like Steve has just done.
Oh, that's cool.
Check perceptione to see if there's anyone in the hallway.
You can do a perception check. Yep.
Very good. gosh, not very good. That's an 8.
Nice. Okay, so party, you are right at that door there. And Steve, as far as you can tell, as you look down this dark hallway, no one in this hallway. In fact, this is kind of a strange hallway. In fact, Nafri's whole office and this whole way into the castle are not traditional in any way, shape, or form. Like, this seems a little odd. There's no windows in Nafri's office, really, except for maybe some high, small windows. And this hallway is, like, totally black. And maybe now you recall that messenger running through who seemed a little frightened to even be in this hallway. But no guards.
Before I leave the... Steve has one more kind of look around he wants to do.
Okay.
Judging by the personal affects, the things in this office, tell if is like a basic administrator, or if there are
Books related to magic.
Yeah, I just want to get an idea like who this Nafri guy kind of is, like what he kind of keeps around in the office.
So as you take one last look around, I'd roll either perception or investigation, or if you're feeling it's more like the wisdom, insight, arcana side, I mean, where do you want to go on the spectrum?
If I want to hedge my bets, perception's the way to do it.
Yeah, go perception.
Although I haven't done insight yet, so.
Oh, well, no.
Insight only works. That works with people more than anything. So okay, I'll do perception.
Okay, all
right, that is very good. So that's 18 plus 5, 23.
Yeah, you do notice, although a lot of these effects seem to be that of, you know, a scholar or, well, an administrator, you know, somebody who executes the paperwork side of everything that goes on in a city, you know, that has a lord or a mayor and, you know, everything taxes. That all seems normal. You do notice a round table, though, that looks a little more like a sorcerer or perhaps even a wizard's book with maybe like a small, what would you call it, like mortar and pestle? And this is all the time, you know, sat just in the shadow of one of those pillars.
So these are the personal affects of someone who could potentially be a magic user?
Yeah. You think, this Nafri guy definitely has a couple of different aspects, one of which seems to be administrator, one of which seems to maybe have a magical component.
I kind of tug on Beleg's robe or whatever and point at the staff and be like,
yeah, could I go and...
That in mind when we come back.
Could I be able to identify if there's anything like a spellcasting focus?
As you guys turn around then and look at that round table, again, there seems to be a mortar and pestle made out of some type of marble or granite, and there's a book beside it. There really are no other objects you see. If you're looking for a spellcasting focus, nothing stands out other than these objects that Steve has directed Beleg in Nafri disguise's attention to.
Beleg would specifically want to look for, spellcasting focus or any material components that might be lying around.
All right, as you quickly go back to the table, boy, this book looks like it has all blank pages. And this mortar and pestle, it's small. It could fit in the palm of your hand. But as you go over and inspect them further, you actually start to feel like, maybe these themselves could be something.
Do a quick arcana check on them.
Yeah, okay, roll it up.
Not a good one. arcana is so shitty. That's a 6 minus 1. So 5.
Other than the, the common sense facts that have led you to this table and look at these items, Steve, and the whole sort of charade that you're putting on and looking into the personage of Nafri, you still feel like these are not an ordinary administrator's, mundane artifacts, but you certainly can't identify them as anything specifically magical, man.
Typical warlock. They didn't have to do any studying to get their magic.
It's complicated.
I want to pick up the mortar and pestle.
Okay, they're in your possession.
Sweet. I'm just gonna pocket those.
Now, as far as books on the shelves,
This one book with the blank pages, Steve, if you've gone back over to have a look at that, as Beleg is looking, and Kaitoa, Rook has come over and slumped on your shoulder, you guys are like slowly approaching the open doorway. As your two other fellows here are back closer to the book. Yeah, this book is strange. All the pages are blank, but it is well worn, and it is bound with a buckle, that could cinch it and close it like a belt. And it lays beside where the mortar and pestle were just lifted by good Beleg.
If only we could arcana check them.
I did one, and it sucked.
An arcana on the book itself.
I know Rook does like a really badass one.
I don't see why not, guys, except for the massive rapping at the door. You guys are still in all arcana all the time. I was wondering, how long are they going to get turned around? You guys were right, and Kaitoa was definitely right. Time was at the essence, and this. No voices coming along with it, but there is a knocking that almost sounds like the hilt of a sword.
I say we rush down the hallway
and put the book under my poncho. And let's get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, that book is gone. It is yours.
Sweet.
Into the poncho, and you grab the mortar and pestle.
Yeah.
Okay. Last minute. All right.
And we go down the hallway before that door opens up.
And just as Kaitoa, your burdensome friend, the orc, and you get past the door, a little flash of fur seems to join you, and Krizblik seems to be coming along at your heels there, Kaitoa, and has now joined the party in the front. The door is now closing behind you guys. You guys can close it firmly. It does not seem to lock. You know, it seems like that messenger who came before there to alert you guys that the mayor was waiting, or at least was expecting you. So up you go, and this door has now locked behind you. Rook and Kaitoa, you are just through, and then this door has shut just as it does. You hear a furious knocking again as you leave Nafri's office, and his door shuts closed with a snap.
You know what's going to suck for those guys? That chest attacks them.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, it doesn't see Nafri and fucking loses its shit again.
He should have, like, left a note being like, open me, please.
The illusion bookcase, the phantom bookcase, would have disappeared sort of.
It is gone.
Probably early on into your investigation. Right, right. Oh, wow, that's true. So that thing's gone. So now there's just the chest. Okay, you guys are now at the foot of, say, about a 20-foot staircase that leads up and levels off into a T-junction hallway. Steve, you sort of spied down there. You cannot quite see the actual ends to that T-junction.
Stealthing along the wall.
And anybody who wants to control Krizblik may make an animal handling check, and I will give you Krizblik.
Yes, please.
Okay, Kaitoa. You want two animals. You got Rook on one arm and Krizblik on the other.
Okay. I will take it.
Can you just roll me a quick one? Just hit anything over 10.
Well, it's a 9.
You don't have anything to add to that?
No, it was a 7 plus 1.
Okay, well, I'll give you this then. Kaitoa, Krizblik is going to remain, you know, under her own agency, but very much sticking to you and the damaged half-orc.
Alrighty then.
Yeah, and I'll probably add that Krizblik now, over the last episode, you guys have kept with her. By the way, she's gained experience, eh? In the one or two fights you've brought her to? Every time you guys bring her along, man, she's gaining experience. And now I'd probably say during this episode, she's learned at least 1 to 2 more skills. So much more obedient than the last time we saw her in public. That's good.
Nice.
I pet her.
So, Tomo, you see Beleg go up to the midpoint of the T-junction.
I am going to reach in underneath my my poncho and pull out the owl, put him on my shoulder.
Your summoned owl familiar perches nicely on your shoulder. To your left, then, you see a door. Beleg, you're up there, and Steve, as you join him, and Kaitoa, Rook, and Krizblik, as you guys kind of wander up to your left, there is a door. It's very similar to these kind of, let's call them Nafri doors, which are slightly rounded and oval in shape. They don't seem to quite match the rest of the architecture and the other parts of the castle, because to the right is a much more normal looking castle door. To the right, it seems like that leads, you know, potentially back to the normal main entrance and the main hall and all this stuff of the castle. To the left, you guys can't quite be sure where that could lead.
To the left.
So you have two doors, to the left and to the right.
To the left, to the left. I want to continue going through Nafri doors.
Okay, as you go up to the Nafri door.
Should be a bed chamber or something.
It's, at the moment, sort of unclear, like where the handle or where the lock is. It's like a smooth wooden surface.
Investigation?
All right, yeah, roll it up.
That's an 11.
Okay. As you push the door, it's open.
Sweet.
Your hand pushes the door and it gives way immediately. And you're looking at the bottom of a small and oddly built winding staircase that seems to spiral up and to the left.
Well, I'm going up. You want to come up too?
Let's do it.
OK. Kaitoa, you coming up?
Yeah.
Let's go up.
All right, so as the party all joins Beleg at this junction here, you have a very dark stairway that is only lit now by some of the sort of ambient light coming in from some high windows in that T-junction that you were before. I mean, it's dark in here. You can see the stairs winding up. Back behind you, you hear a door open, and this door flies open from the castle side, and it's that same young messenger, and he starts running around the corner, then almost bumps into you guys.
Oh, Nafri! The mayor is indeed awaiting you and your...
And he's now looking at the badger, Kaitoa, and limping Rook.
Will you be much longer?
No, just a few minutes more. Don't worry.
Shall I tell the mayor then another time entirely then? This is around the time he likes to retire for his second breakfast after a little wine.
When does that end?
Around noon, when lunchtime feasting and drinking begins.
That's Brayden laughing, not Nafri. I don't like this mayor's style.
Yeah, Nafri would never laugh. Nafri would, like, hiss through his teeth.
Yeah, exactly. I had to separate myself. I broke character.
You're doing great, man. Yeah, this messenger now is starting to back away.
Very well, my lord Nafri.
We'll meet him for lunch.
Lunch it is. Postponed.
And he runs back out of the hallway, closes the door behind him, and as he opens that door, yeah, you do see it's brightly lit out there. That does seem to be the main entrance to Hugill Castle that you would normally enter through. Okay, guys, you're now in a very much narrower passage than you were before, and this staircase at one point tapers off to only about 2 steps. I mean, it is very narrow indeed as you approach, say, about the 12th or 13th stair, so you'll have to go single file.
I'll go first.
Okay, can you make a either kind of dexterity or acrobatics check, Beleg?
Yes, I'll do acrobatic. That's a 9 plus 5, so 14.
9 plus 5, you say 14?
Yep.
Okay. Couple of these steps as you tiptoe over them, Beleg, feel a little shaky.
I stop and look back at Kaitoa and ask him if he thinks he'll break through.
Can I do a investigation?
Yeah, certainly. Investigating whether you think these stairs are going to hold you. How much do you weigh, Beleg?
I'm only like 145 pounds.
So, yeah, if you're leading the way, you would have just noticed this was a little rough. And Kaitoa, what'd you roll?
14.
All right, you would gauge that you need to just entirely miss 2 or 3 steps. You need to probably take a big old either stride or straddle, because these do not look well-engineered.
All right, then. Well, should I do, like, an athletics check?
As you start to move up on this thing and you have, you know, Rook hanging onto your shoulder, you know, you'd have to make a combo of sort of, I'd say, like, strength and dexterity and maybe a hell of a lot of luck. You are trying to navigate something with some extra baggage. Your encumbrance is a 350-pound orc.
That's cumbersome.
Which I cannot ignore.
So what would you want me to roll?
Strength and dexterity to kind of lurch and throw you and Rook over at the same time.
I'm going to go for it. Which first?
I'd roll up at the same time. Get 2 hot d20s. Go blam!
Ooh. I got a 19 for strength and a 9 for dex.
Oh, wow. What do you think happens, Kaizoa?
I'm guessing, like, my foot goes through 1 step to my knee, like Harry and the Hendersons style. Just like smashing through floor.
Well, I think that probably happens on the first step. You essentially lose a whole bunch of, these kind of weirdly put together timbers between rocks, but you manage to just step out of this thing as it crumbles a little bit. And you actually manage to navigate this kind of 4 feet of real sketchy stair for the, 600-pound plus of adventurer that just cleared it. And Steve, I suppose, are you pulling up the rear with Krizblick?
Yeah, but I'm significantly...
Yeah, you're pretty wavy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't even think I'd ask you to roll.
you weigh the same as me, right?
I've just looked. I'm 165, not 145.
And so, Steve, the only question in your mind is, as the badger kind of scurries up along here, and the owl on your shoulder, yeah, you start to get your Steve wilderness sense. You start to get that sixth sense again, like Steve always feels like, have we missed something? Anyways, at the top of the staircase... Beleg, you'd be the first to reach it. You see your companions navigate this narrow staircase. It's now pitch black up here. Kaitoa would be the only one who needs a candle on his head. But you folks with dark vision would see, again, this sort of oval-shaped door just barely outlined in the dim gloom. There are no overhead lights and no outside lights right now lighting your way. And that, my friends, is where we may leave you guys tonight. Or...
God damn it.
Where do you want to leave this?
If it's going to be fun on the other side of that door, we should wait for Brandon.
Oh, man.
All right.
Yeah.
Cheer.
The intro is fucking hilarious.
I need to throw to you again, Caleb? Do you want to repair that?
Fuck no.
No, I love it.
It's so good.
So until level 6, that's going to be our intro. Anyways, nonetheless.